Welcome to Life in Full Expression with me, your host, Beth Wolf. In this show, we will explore, elevate, expand, and learn how to live your best life. Have you ever wondered what it feels like to live your life in full expression or create an expansive vision for your future? Get ready to be energized to fully express yourself, discover your heart's clarity for dynamic direction and life decisions, and develop your unique capabilities so you are delivering your ever-increasing capacities into your world. Join me, Beth Wolf, and unleash the limitless capabilities of your soul, experiencing amazement, collaboration, fun, and purpose. Life in Full Expression starts now. Welcome, everybody. My name is Beth Wolf, your host of Life in Full Expression, and get ready. We are going to be diving into one of the dimensions of life in full expression, the physical dimension. And if you've seen the preview already, we're going to go through why are we getting so sick? Not only just in our American country, but why are we getting so sick around the world? And what really is the root cause of some hidden epidemics that are causing so much metabolic disease? So as a platinum life coach in health and business and life, one of my backgrounds is I've been in athletic medicine and nutrition for over 40 years and teach a college class on personal wellness. And this is something I see on a regular basis as my students come into my course each quarter, is there's parts of their life that is not going well. And I actually have students from, you know, 18-year-olds to 50-year-olds. And when I have an opportunity to teach young people how to change their lifestyle and that they have way more control over the outcomes of their lifestyle, it's pretty cool. And then on the other side, when I have students that are maybe in their fourth, fifth, or sixth decade, and I can give them tools to really transform their life, that's really cool too. And it's exciting to see what these young at heart and young people in age do in just one quarter with some information that I'm actually going to give you today. So thanks for tuning in. And again, we're going to look at what's the root of a hidden epidemic and that's causing so much metabolic disease. I'm going to be using one of an excellent book, and I'll put the resource up on my website, bethwolf.com. And it's a book written by Benjamin Bickman. He has a PhD and he wrote a book called Why We Get Sick. And what we're really going to look into is exploring and discovering, elevating and developing and expanding and delivering a life that you can have in full expression. And so in a nutshell, this episode is really about how our bodies lose its sensitivity and ability to hormone levels in our body. And specifically, I'm going to be talking a lot about a hormone called insulin. And you might be familiar with that. It's very much related to diabetes. But, oh gosh, Dr. Bickman has done an extraordinary amount of research in his book. I highly recommend that you get it. I'll just put it up here and show it up in the camera. And I'm going to be using a lot of information from there. But really, learning just from this particular textbook, as well as another book that I've been reading by a phenomenal woman, Cynthia Thurlow, who's a nurse practitioner. For ladies, that if you are listening to this and you are in your fourth or fifth decade of life, this is an awesome, awesome resource for you to check into as well. She transformed her life. And because, you know, things were going really well and then they weren't. And so she started diving into it. So we can get too much activity in parts of our bodies and then the other part of our body will turn it down. It's really quite extraordinary. Well, the number one question we're going to start off first is the problem. And this is what Dr. Bickman introduces, is what's insulin resistance and why does it matter? And I wanted to let you know that he found that related to insulin resistance, and we're going to get into the details of exactly what that is, but 10 million people die of cancer a year. 10 million people. 20 million die of heart disease, and 50 million die of Alzheimer's. And if you have heard before, Alzheimer's is actually kind of being deemed as the diabetes 3. So we have diabetes 1, diabetes 2, and Alzheimer's is diabetes 3. Now, here's the next stat. About 500 million people a year die of diabetes. And I'm telling you that all of this can be prevented with a lot of changes in our lifestyle and our nutrition. So there's going to be some things that you can't change in your life, like your genetics. And I'm going to share with you, even from Bruce Lipton in the Biology of Belief, that that has to do with about 5% of our outcome. And not so much as what we thought it was. It really has to do with our lifestyle and our nutrition. So let's look at what insulin resistant is. And I've got some notes right up in here for me, in front of me, so that I really give you some detailed information as well as accurate information. So you'll see me reading back and forth. So it's one of the most common health disorders is insulin resistance. It used to be a disease of the affluent. It was actually called the plague of prosperity, if you can believe it or not. And insulin is actually a hormone protein, and it's produced in the pancreas, and it's very important when it's working properly. It's actually an anabolic hormone. Have you ever heard of that term? Anabolic basically means that insulin helps things get bigger. And sometimes we do want things to get bigger in our body, and then sometimes we don't. It has several functions. It is amazing what insulin can do. It has an effect on every cell of the body. It actually helps the brain. Glucose is sugar, and the brain has to have that for energy. So insulin helps in neuron growth. It actually helps with your hearing. It helps in your heart. It helps with the use of the energy of your heart as well as the heart size. And believe it or not, insulin, when it's working well, it actually lowers our blood pressure. And then it's also important for our muscles. Remember, it's an anabolic hormone, so it's important for building things. So if you want to build strong muscles, muscles use that energy and muscle protein production, and as far as the size. And insulin is also important to our fat. You actually have to have an essential amount of body fat or you're not going to function well. Men, it's at least 6-7% essential body fat. And for women, it's at least 12-13% body fat. If you start going lower than that, then you start having some problems. So insulin is important to our testes, our ovaries, our bones, our nerves, and really heart health is one of the leading global causes of death and 30% of disease-related deaths. So a real prominent physician, scientist, Joseph Kraft, he's pretty much devoted his entire career to insulin resistance. And this is a quote from him. Those with cardiovascular disease not identified with diabetes, for example, insulin resistance, simply are underdiagnosed. That's from Dr. Joseph Kraft. Now, what exactly is heart disease? It's kind of a big umbrella, and really it has to do with various things. So heart disease can be hypertension. So you have increased hormone of aldosterone, which really signals our kidneys to hang on to sodium and not release it. And because of the homeostasis in the body, it hangs out and it attracts more water. So I'm getting into a lot of physiology. So if some of these terms you haven't heard before and you're like, oh my goodness, Beth, you're going fast and you're going a little bit of terms, remember that this is recorded and you can go back and listen to it at any time. Now, the other thing about heart disease is it can cause thicker blood vessels. And remember, insulin is an anabolic hormone. So therefore, it's actually going to increase the cells in the vessel walls and make up those cell walls that they actually get thicker, which means when they get thicker, the space that the blood can flow actually gets more narrow, which that's not necessarily a good thing. And then the other thing that happens is that with heart disease is blood vessels can't dilate. And so there's an element called nitric oxide. It's actually a very powerful vasodilator, and a vasodilator actually makes the vessel bigger. But the endothelial cells in those produce nitric oxide, and it helps it to relax. And insulin activates this production of nitric oxide in the endothelial cells. But with insulin resistance, it's less able to stimulate the nitric oxide production. So just have it, imagine when we are resisting insulin and it can't get in, and we don't have as many receptors on our cells, then we can't get this relaxed state for our blood vessels. And then, like I mentioned earlier, the heart disease, narrow blood vessels, insulin plays a part to turn on what's called our sympathetic nervous system, like if there's a threat perceived. But when we have insulin resistance, I found this really interesting when I read this, is when we have insulin resistance, this process is actually hyperactive. And so as long as insulin is present on a chronic level, we actually experience increased blood pressure. So finally, an unhealthy changes in our blood lipids. Insulin can actually drive the production of what they call pattern B LDLs. Now, what is that? LDLs are low density lipoproteins, and I loved how Dr. Bickman talked about this in the book. If we have these low B LDLs, we actually produce like golf balls inside our bloodstream, and the lipids are really heavy and they're dense, and that's basically what begins to cause the plaque. But there's also ALDLs that are kind of shaped more like beach balls, and they just kind of float around and they move around and they don't really cause problems. So all of these are part of heart disease, as well as scarring within the vessel. There's inflammation, and then finally the cardiomyopathy, which, you know, that's now affecting the muscle itself of the heart, because the heart is a muscle. So other aspects that insulin resistance can affect is our brain and neurological disorders. So this is where we're going to get into a little bit of Alzheimer's. In a nutshell, the brain needs a lot of reliable energy to function. And so brain insulin resistance, you access to fuel, it becomes limited if we're insulin resistant, and we don't have as many receptors on our cells, and the insulin can't get in. So insulin will actually influence our appetite, it helps our memory, and it regulates dopamine. So that's where Alzheimer's type 3 begins to come in, is because if insulin's not working correctly in our body, it affects our memory. And so there's a recent study for 10 years of insulin resistance, and our brains actually looked 2 years older. So in other words, for every 10 years that we might be insulin resistant, it ages our brain by 2 years, according to one study. So talking a little bit about Alzheimer's as the type 3 diabetes, there's two main features. Really what begins to happen is there's an accumulation of plaque, which I kind of described about what happens with the LDLs and the golf balls, how they get heavy in the blood vessels. But there's another thing that happens that Dr. Bickman talks about, is it actually tangles the nerves in the brain. So the plaques basically form these clusters and inhibit the brain function. But then what happens is this entanglement that happens in the brain, now it's affecting the nerve structure, and that can't function very well at all. So you can see that insulin already has a significant effect on our bodies. And he goes into many more aspects. He goes into how insulin resistance will affect our reproductive health. It has a huge influence on cancer production. It has a huge influence on aging, skin, muscles, bones, gastrointestinal, kidney health. Oh my gosh, what doesn't insulin have an effect on? The final thing that is becoming more and more popular, if you haven't heard of it yet, is the metabolic syndrome and obesity. And the World Health Organization talked about that there's two main criteria that you must have in order to be basically said that you or I would have a metabolic syndrome. And one of them is that you might have high blood pressure, you might have dyslipidemia, central obesity, which is more around your middle. You might have low levels of protein in the urine. And then second, you must have insulin resistance in order to be considered to have metabolic syndrome. So if you go to your physician and it's like, hey, you got high blood pressure, we're finding protein in your urine, and now we're finding that you are insulin resistant or really pre-diabetic, those are signs that you might be having metabolic syndrome. So I'm equipping you with knowledge so that actually you can do something about this. And insulin basically directs nutrients to be stored as fat. So it's not as simple anymore as calories in, calories out, and you just exercise if you want to lose weight. It's not so much about decrease your calories and increase your exercise. Our bodies are a little bit more complicated than that, especially when our hormones are not working well, and especially when anabolic hormone like insulin is not working well. So let me leave you with this before we go to our first break, is that if you and I are eating 25 calories that are low in insulin, in other words, they're not full of a lot of simple sugars and simple carbohydrates, and I'll get into explaining the difference between a simple carb and a complex carb, then little fat production is going to occur from you eating those 2,500 calories. Again, if it's low in insulin and glucose. If you're eating 2,500 calories a day, or maybe you're eating 1,800, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm about 5'4". I weigh, you know, about 150 right now. So if I eat 25 calories or 1,800 calories that's high in simple carbs and insulin, guess what? I'm going to have more high fat production. So here's the first question for you to ask yourself. Are you aware of what you're eating? And is it high in simple carbs and therefore in insulin? And if it is, then you're basically, we're kind of sabotaging ourselves from the inside out. And you can exercise all you want and decrease the calories, but if we're not putting in the right combination of nutrients, it's definitely going to affect. So are you eating a diet high in glucose that creates high secretion of insulin? And ultimately, this information is going to help you go to your healthcare provider, your physician, your nurse practitioner. So know that this does not substitute professional advice in any ways. Just giving you more information that you can ask even more high calibrated questions to your healthcare provider. All right, you guys, that's a lot of information that we started off that what is the problem? It's insulin resistance. And so stay tuned. We're going to be right back. And guess where we're going to go next? I'm actually going to talk about what makes insulin resistance in the first place? What causes it? So let's go into the root causes, grab some water, and come right back, and we're going to talk about what causes that.
Welcome to the Spacious Unknowing Network, sunshine for your soul.
With Julie O
and JoJo Rose,
every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific,
on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let your heart beat in the rhythm of your soul and guide you to new horizons and unlimited, infinite love.
Hi, I'm Patricia McNair, host of Divine Guidance with Patricia. And I'm here to help you live a more authentic, spiritually connected life. Join me every first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Being who you are in everyday life is the key to unlocking soul wisdom within that our whole self already knows. Get ready to embrace your spiritual, mental, and emotional well-being, your whole being. Discover your gifts and strengthen your connection to spirit. We will explore earth guidance, divine truth and love, past life lessons, and so much more. So listen in to Divine Guidance with Patricia and join in your personal adventure to triggering, opening, validating, and being all that you are. For more information about me, visit divineguidance.earth.
Tune in to the Be Happy Now show with me, Claudia Sam. Flex your soul connection muscle and be your inner guide to fulfillment. Every Thursday on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You are here for a bigger reason and are worthy of accessing it. Experience happiness now. Tune in to your intuition and connect with me. Visit ClaudiaSamCoaching.com.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let the journey begin.
Hey guys, welcome back. My name is Beth Wolf with Life in Full Expression today. And we are diving into one of the dimensions of elevating and exploring and expanding your life in full expression. And that is the physical dimension. We have seven of them. And today I'm focusing on the physical dimension and really talking about what is the hidden root cause of some of the epidemic of metabolic dis-ease and diseases that are going on in our world right now. And I initially gave some statistics, and in a nutshell, we're talking about insulin resistance. It's a hormone. And in this segment, I'm going to go into what could be and are some of the causes that would make you and I insulin resistant. And before I dive into that, you might even ask, you know, how did you even want to even know about this? And just in my own story, here I am at 58 years old. And one of the things that I noticed that was happening with my body is some of my scratches on my legs and stuff weren't healing as well. And being in the medical field for 40 years, I was like, that is not a good sign. I could be getting pre-diabetic. I could be getting insulin resistant. And so last year was a pretty tough year as far as physically and stressful. And I knew I had taken myself through really a lot of emotional pain in my own life with relationships. And it was tough just being in COVID, right? We've all come through that in the last 2 years. And I had gained some weight, and then I noticed I wasn't healing very well. So, I piqued my attention. I started doing some more studying myself. And one of the things that I took out of my diet right away was, pretty much I eat healthy most of the time. But one thing that I was doing is I was still putting sugar in my coffee. So I took that completely out, and I took out all kinds of just any kind of processed sugar food. So I pretty much don't eat desserts anymore, and slowly started adding other aspects to my diet too. Like, I knew that I needed to get my liver healthy. So I've done some lemon water. I came at it from a multifaceted approach, but in general, I took sugar out of my diet and gosh, released over 15 pounds already. And guess what? When I get a scratch, I heal a lot faster now. So that was just some of the things that piqued my interest to look into this insulin resistance a little bit more, is I was actually being affected myself. So let's look at, does age and genetics influence your insulin? Well, it does a little bit. We're going to look at these. Dr. Bickman talks about that our genetics actually play less of a role than we might think. Like, my grandma had diabetes, but she ate a lot of sugar. You know, she was always sucking on those little candies. Research showing genetics that actually cause insulin resistance is less than 5%. Our genes are not as important as you would think. Rather, it is the environment that our genes are actually in on our daily basis and the decisions we make. So basically, you guys, in a nutshell, it comes down to our lifestyle that really affects what insulin is doing and not doing in our body. I also want to address some other things that Dr. Bickman talked about in there, that there are certain ethnic groups that actually do suffer higher rates of insulin resistance that he mentioned. And some of the theories are still out as to why these are affected more than others. But first and foremost, the most common people that are affected is due to our Western diet, and that's the American Indians in our particular nation. And then second is Hispanic Americans. These all have they're higher likely to get insulin resistant. Asian Americans are third, African Americans are fourth, and believe it or not, Northern European Caucasians like myself were last. He also mentioned that the Pima Indians in southern Arizona have some of the highest insulin resistant rates in our nation. And, he talks about the theory of that in the book about how they've gone through starvation, feast and famine type things, and how their bodies adapted to it. So the other thing that can affect our insulin is age. So as you guys know, I'm 58 years old, and things have definitely changed in my body in the last decade or so. And one of the things that happens is estrogen, which is actually several hormones, that's just kind of one word for a group of three, helps maintain insulin sensitivity. So if we have less estrogen, according to Dr. Bickman, then a possible deficiency in another hormone called aromatase that actually converts androgens to estrogens. So we can get into that a little bit deeper. But the bottom line is that when you're getting older, hormones are starting to act a little bit differently. So that then invites us to live our lives a little bit differently. So some specific changes in women after they've gone into menopause, this decreases the estrogens, and then that estrogen reduction can make women more insulin resistant. And we're going to talk about, before this show's over, all right, okay, you're telling me the problem, Beth, how do I fix this? Well, there's definitely easy ways to fix this. Now with men, if you're listening, you can actually get decreases in testosterone, and that then increases, if you have decreases in that, then that's going to affect your insulin sensitivity. And it's actually showing up in men that are like 40 years old, and I don't really consider that old at all. And so now we're paying attention to that. What is going on in men's lifestyle and diet that is causing this consequence? So age and ethnicity definitely have, and genetics have an effect on our hormone levels and our insulin sensitivity. The next one is how hormones actually cause the insulin resistance. So remember, insulin is a hormone and it affects every cell in the body. And basically, I love how Dr. Bickman talked about it in the book. He's like, insulin calls all the other hormones to the dance floor, and they all want to dance together. So if you and I have too much insulin, it's actually going to begin to cause this insulin resistance. I almost remember one of the, it was like a movie, or just imagine you're a mom or a dad and you hear your kid in the background going, mom. And the mom is completely ignoring the child because maybe, you know, the child says that all the time. But what happens is our cells basically do the same thing. If they're overrun so much with insulin, we actually get less receptors on our cells and they ignore it. So it's kind of like a parent ignoring their kid would be one illustration that you could laugh at. So he found that for every micro unit increase in fasting blood insulin, there can be a 20% increase in insulin resistance. So again, just too much insulin can actually increase the insulin resistance just by 20%. And a study was done on men. They injected them with a normal steady flow of insulin throughout the day, which, you know, you normally wouldn't do that. But when they did that, they increased their insulin resistance in just a few hours. We're not talking days or weeks. We're just talking about a few hours. So imagine yourself, and this is how a lot of my students come into my personal wellness class, especially through COVID. Thank goodness we're through that. But you might still have a habit of sitting around eating food all day. That's no different than having someone inject you with insulin and sitting all day. So you actually could be creating these higher insulin resistance just by inactivity and eating throughout the day all the time. So I wanted to take this page in his book and read to you about what happens with type 2 diabetes. So he says, are your beta cells really gone? So beta cells are in your pancreas. So he says, many people with type 2 diabetes have been led to understand that the reason their glucose levels climb to a critical level is that their pancreas isn't making enough insulin. I was definitely taught that in school. This is partly true, but also misleading. The fact is that most people with type 2 diabetes, certainly those with pre-diabetes, that is those with insulin resistance, which again, you guys, I felt I was getting that, have high levels of insulin. Thus, the problem isn't that the beta cells are dying, the beta cells are in the pancreas, but rather they simply can't produce enough insulin to keep blood glucose levels under control. Extracted beta cells that are cultivated in isolated laboratory conditions provide an interesting model to help us understand what happened to beta cells with insulin resistance. When you expose beta cells to high levels of glucose for a long time, they start to shut down. How do you restore them? Yep, it's as simple as lowering the glucose. However, the same thing appears to happen when we look at people. A study in the UK found that type 2 diabetes patients with reduced beta cell function had a normalization of beta cell function simply by restricting carbs and therefore glucose. Now, I want to make a distinguish. There is a difference between simple carbohydrates and complex carbohydrates. It's not healthy for us to limit complex carbs like vegetables. We need those. But simple carbs like rice and bread and cereals, those spike our glucose. So that was after 8 weeks. Another study even identified the specific proteins that allow the beta cells in an insulin-resistant person, that is one with type 2 diabetes, to recover. That's pretty cool news. However, the ability of the beta cells to rebound may not be universal. In another study of type 2 diabetes, patients on a carb-restricted diet, roughly half experienced the expected recovery, while the other half still required medication, although less than before. So it's not, you know, one glove fits everyone. Again, you want to be checking in with your healthcare provider on all of this. They're the ones that know you the best, and you know you the best. So what all these improvements have in common is that the beta cells of the pancreas are given a rest. By controlling your simple carbs, the beta cells are allowed to enjoy a reduced glucose condition that doesn't force them to work so hard. So super cool on that. I'm just going to check a message real quick here that came in. Okay, got it. Thank you, Jacob, for that message. I appreciate it. So just going back to going to talk later about more about the simple carbs and the complex carbs. But the next thing up about this is our stress hormones of epinephrine and cortisol. Now, cortisol has definitely been all over the news, and cortisol wants us to have enough energy to get through what we perceive to be a stressful situation. And one of the courses that I have on my Platinum Life University and for coaching for my clients is Transform Your Stress to Bliss. And so cortisol is determined to raise your blood glucose because your brain really needs a lot of fuel. And this hormone produced by our adrenal glands, they sit right on top of our kidneys, will tell the liver to take glucose out of anything it can get, including amino acids from muscle protein, so, and glycerol from fat. So if you're stressed out, you know, cortisol is going to go and get that the energy source from your muscles as well as your fat. Meanwhile, insulin is trying to reduce blood glucose. So this is all going on during our perceived stress event, but cortisol, it's going to win the fight every time. And over time, insulin resistance actually increases, and a possible, you know, sometimes a possible really dramatic disorder can happen from this. And sometimes it can be Cushing's syndrome, and it can be a result from our adrenal glands producing way too much cortisol. So next up is really looking at obesity and insulin resistance, just revisiting that a little bit more. How can obesity be a cause of insulin resistance if it's a consequence of insulin resistance? It's almost like a catch-22. Did the chicken come first, or the egg, or the egg, or the chicken? And I, as I read more and more about this book, I think there's still research out for that that they're investigating. And so it does matter where fat is stored on your body. If you notice, some people can be a pear shape, and that's more subcutaneous fat. And that's actually fat that jiggles. And I'm going to tell you right now that it's good that your fat jiggles. It's better. It's better to have fat that jiggles than not jiggle, because that fat is just under your skin. And it's not a visceral fat that is wrapped around your organs or in your organs. So visceral fat actually causes more inflammation in our bodies, and it also can cause an oxidative stress. Now, inflammation and oxidative stress is not necessarily a bad thing. It actually is super important for our immune system. But there's an easy way that you can kind of see, am I healthy? But you can look up and Google a waist-hip ratio. And so you would just take a tape measure and go around your waist, and let's say it's 30 inches. And then you take a tape measure and go around your hips, and let's say it's 40 inches. And so for a woman, that would be pretty good, because you would be under 0.8. So if you're below that, that's a good thing. For men, you ideally want to be below 0.9 with that. So that's just looking at the one, you know, a hip ratio that you could check on. So in general, it's better to have smaller mini fat cells than larger and fewer fat cells. And so I actually learned this just recently of doing this research as we come into this is that if we have smaller fat cells, it actually increases our insulin sensitivity, where if we have larger fat cells, that increases insulin resistance. And what happens with that is when we have larger fat cells, it actually leaks proteins into our bloodstream, and that begins to cause a lot of problems with inflammation. And I was kind of even wondering too, I didn't have time to look this up, but looking at what a double whammy if you've got that and you also have a leaky gut on top of that. It would be really bad to have both of those. So basically, you end up getting fat in your liver, and that causes insulin resistance. And what the liver will do is it'll actually pull glucose, sugar, stored as glycogen, and it prevents this from breaking down. And so I experienced also that I was losing my strength. Even though I was doing strength workouts, the fact that I had become more insulin resistant, was kind of toying with being pre-diabetic. I couldn't recruit really for my muscles to work well. And so as I changed my diet and my nutrition and my lifestyle, wow, here I am, it's August, and so much of my strength has returned already. So the next step is inflammation and oxidative stress. And I love how Dr. Bickman talked about this, that inflammation and oxidative stress is actually important for our immune system. So they're not necessarily bad all the time. They actually help our body defend against infections. And here I've been in sports medicine for so many years. It's important that after an injury, there's inflammation, because that is really important for the recovering and healing to happen for that particular injury. But if we have it on a chronic basis, inflammation is going to drive up insulin resistance, and oxidative stress, it's actually harmful to the molecules of our cells. So basically, OS changes the way some proteins work in our cell, including the insulin needs, basically to do the job. So as I wrap up this second segment, one of the things that is going to affect us is our lifestyle factors. And it's the things we breathe, the things we eat, and the things we do. So according to one source, we take about 20,000 breaths a day. And so if we're around a lot of air pollution, that basically is going to create an inflammation in our lungs, possibly. And that then produces cytokines and increases insulin resistance. So it estimated that over 1 billion people still smoke cigarettes in the world. And I grew up with my grandmother, and she smoked all the time. And I can remember sitting next to her, playing solitaire with her all the time, had no clue that secondhand smoke was bad for me, but lungs can recover. Now, the things that we eat, have you heard of monosodium glutamate? It is actually one of the earliest used methods of inducing obesity in lab animals. And in America, MSG is still in some of our foods. So read your labels, you guys. If it's got MSG or a form of it, do not eat it. It will increase your insulin resistance. And then there's petrochemicals. Have you heard of the BPA, bisphenol that is in soft plastic water bottles? It's in jugs. It can be on baby toys, linings of canned foods. That all increases your insulin resistance as well. And it's not always totally understood how all of that happens, but there's been some causal research with that. Obviously, pesticides. And then I want to talk a little bit about sugar and artificial sweeteners. According to some of this research, fructose used in supposed healthy sports drinks, which I highly recommend my athletes to not drink because it has sugar in it, And basically, artificial sweeteners are in 70% of our sports drinks as well as our processed food. And that gives you a 30, well, if you're eating diet, if you're drinking diet sodas as well, 36% greater chance of developing metabolic syndrome with diet sodas, as well as 67% higher risk of type 2 diabetes just with the artificial sweeteners that are in those containers or those drinks. Now, here's an interesting thought, and you want to check this with your healthcare provider if you are dealing with some sodium issues, but too little salt. Here's a study that if we get too little of good, healthy salt, like pink Himalayan salt, a study of 27 men with normal or elevated blood pressure restricted their salt intake for 1 week. Kind of a small study. Guess what? Their blood pressure didn't drop. And they became insulin resistant without having healthy salt in their diet. Then there was another study of 152 men and women, and they were restricted from salt 1 week, and then another week they were given salt. And the week that they did not have the salt, their insulin resistance increased. Every week that they did not have the salt, when the salt was reintroduced, then their insulin resistance went down. And then ending this segment of sleep is super important. If we are depriving ourselves of healthy sleep, it's going to increase our insulin resistance. And one of the things that will make increase insulin resistance that I've already mentioned already is our sedentary lifestyle. As you notice right now, even while I'm doing this particular podcast, I'm standing, but most of the time, if you can stand and work, it is so much healthier for you. Not only, you know, biomechanically is it healthier, but it will also help your insulin resistance go down and stay at a healthy level. All right, you guys, that's segment two. We're going to come back about some solutions on how we can fight insulin resistance. So stay tuned. This is Beth Wolf with Life in Full Expression, and we'll be right back after this short message.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
It is time to get inspired to take action in your life. Tune in to Know You're Crazy.
Crazy.
With me, Susan Danae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating our crazy one episode at a time. We all have crazy in our lives. The thing that sets us apart is how we deal with it. And I've got you covered. Enjoy your journey. You are worth it. Visit SusanDanae.com. That's DENEE.com.
Hey guys, welcome back. I'm Beth Wolf with Life in Full Expression, and today we're talking about, in the physical dimension of life in full expression, what is the hidden root cause of some of our epidemic metabolic disease, and why are we getting so sick? And this last segment that I'm going to talk about is solutions. How can we fight this insulin resistance or even eliminate it? And so one of the first things that we could do is get moving. The importance of physical activity and what is really what we have control over. And basically what happens in movement is it removes the glucose, the sugar, from your blood without actually involving insulin at all. So just like I mentioned in the previous segment, just by us standing and working and walking around and just, you know, there's walking, I know people put treadmills under their desk and they walk on there. That is an awesome idea if that's possible. Muscle contractions actually usher in glucose from the blood without any help from that major anabolic hormone, insulin. So our muscles use glucose and they use ketones and they use fat for fuel, so not just sugar. So in a nutshell, know that movement is actually going to increase your insulin sensitivity and decrease your insulin resistance. So basically you're making your cells much more receptive. And I wanted to bring out a quick little study that just moderate intensity walking for 3 months, they found actually could lower your visceral fat. Remember, that's around your organs and around your midsection by 2%. That's just moderate intensity walking. There's one thing that I teach in my college class, and it's called, is an acronym, and it's called NEAT, non-exercise activity thermogenesis. That basically means to keep your body moving throughout the day. Some studies have shown that if you sit all day and then go to the gym and work out even 5 days a week, it would actually benefit you to move throughout the day. And you would actually be burning a lot more calories and decreasing your insulin resistance rather than sitting all day and just doing that 1 hour workout. So I want to also introduce to you, is it better for you to get aerobic exercise or resistant exercise to affect your insulin resistance? And basically, especially as we age, resistant exercise at least 2 times a week is really going to improve your insulin sensitivity. So pretty much after the age of 25-ish, we really go down in producing our growth hormone. And by doing weights, it really helps, whether you want to use your body as the resistance or bands, or I have a Total Gym, I use that. But there was a study done that 32,000 people for 20 years worked out 2.5 hours a week, and they increased their insulin sensitivity. That's good. We want that. And it was found that resistance training was really found to be superior in that study. Now, also, intensity matters about exercise. Again, you know, consult with your healthcare provider as far as your intensity. But what I love to teach in my college course of personal wellness is I like to teach my students their training heart rate zones. You can exercise at a low intensity, which is about 30 to 40% of your estimated max heart rate, or you can exercise at 40 to 60% of your estimated heart rate, which is a moderate, and then 90% is 60 to 90% is intense and vigorous. And it's been found that if you can exercise at moderate to vigorous levels, you're really going to have more an effect on your insulin sensitivity. So work yourself up to that higher intensity and make sure you're with a healthcare professional that can help you estimate your training heart rate zones. And then finally, bringing in eating. I've talked about that. We want to make sure that we have dietary fiber, that we want to be taking in complex carbohydrates that are vegetables and have low glycemic index, meaning there's not much sugar in that vegetable. And one of the secrets that I've found that's helped me a lot is eating in a sequence of foods. I never used to do this, but I'll eat my complex carbohydrates first, my veggies, and then I'll eat my fats, and then I'll eat my proteins, and then if I want a simple carb like a piece of bread or rice, I'll eat that last, because that really helps my insulin in that fashion. And then some sources that I want to give you about intermittent fasting is I found Dr. Eric Berg on YouTube, absolutely phenomenal resource. Cynthia Thurlow, the nurse practitioner on intermittent fasting. Those are great resources. I'll put those up on my website for you to learn more about intermittent fasting. Has really helped me a lot. Remember, breakfast is just breaking a fast. It doesn't mean that you necessarily have to eat early in the morning. So something that has really helped me is I really don't eat until about noon. But I make sure that I have great electrolytes in my water every day. Dr. Eric Berg has some electrolytes on there. You can do your own studies on that and then keep up with those complex carbs, healthy protein, and movement. All right, you guys, this brings us into a close about the hidden and root cause epidemic of why we are getting so sick. In a nutshell, we get to move more, make that daily decision, great nutrition, and keep ourselves out of that insulin resistance happening. So thanks for joining me today. I know that was a lot of information. Feel free to listen to this over again and have a great week. Start moving in that physical dimension. This is Beth Wolf with Life in Full Expression. I'll see you next week. Take care. Thanks for tuning in to Life in Full Expression with me, Beth Wolf. Tune in each Monday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Be your most elevated self and pursue a path of fulfillment, clarity, expansion, fun, and living your best life. If you would like to discover the seven dimensions of your life blueprint of expression, to fully express yourself, reveal your heart's clarity for dynamic direction, and activate your unique capability, visit BethWolf.com. That's Beth, W-O-L-F-E.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.